Welcome to my monthly podcast series titled Becoming a Sage. My name is Jan Fried, but you can call me Dr. Jan. In this series, I interview people to seek wisdom about living and leading a life on purpose. My passion is helping people find purpose and meaning in their lives on a daily basis for the rest of their lives, a concept I call breadcrumb legacy. I'm also on a mission to retire the word retirement. We are not retiring from life, but moving on to something else. And I believe it takes time and intentional effort to successfully move on to what's next in life. Today, I'm interviewing Paul Long. Paul's a former TV newsman, content creator for video and live events for over 30 years. And now he created Pro Boomer. It's about, he interviews people for a healthier and more fulfilling life than the traditional retirement model. So welcome to the series, Paul.
It's great to be here. Thank you.
Well, great. Well, you put forth the concept of traditional retirement as really, when you and I've talked about this in the past, it's totally outdated. Why and how should we look at this phase of life?
Radically and totally and completely different. I mean, in the first place, it's absolutely stunning to think about the fact that so many of us, most of us, go through our lives, our adult lives, even our teens, planning, strategizing, developing all the different aspects, our professional life, how we're going to earn money, our families, where we're going to live, our homes, and things of that sort. And what I'm discovering, and I've discovered from so many other experts, is there's this notion of, oh, retirement. Hey, I'm going to have like one big long vacation. But the fact of the matter is that today, in this day and age, by the way, the coronavirus situation is only accentuated it, which is an understatement. The reality is radically different from what this notion is. So many people go into it totally unprepared with these assumptions and presumptions, you know, that aren't true and no longer apply. And so part of what I'm doing with Pro Boomer is to, first of all, raise the awareness of what the new reality is and why it is that way, and provide people with the options and even the tools, similar to what you're doing, to go, wait a minute, there is something better here for me. And the traditional retirement route can actually, and is proving to be a disaster, literally a life disaster for many people.
Yeah, well, that kind of leads me into the next question I wanted to ask you is, what are some of the potential downfalls downfalls of traditional retirement, and what are the opportunities?
Yeah, and what you just stated there is a fork in the road that everybody's facing. And by the way, people in their 40s are starting to think about this, so I don't want to be exclusive to boomers.
Well, right, because they say in Silicon Valley, people are aging out in their 30s.
That's right. Oh, yes. The number one of the hottest businesses in Silicon Valley and other such locations are plastic surgeons. Mm-hmm. And their primary clients are men in their 30s because they're being viewed as irrelevant anymore. Mm-hmm. And so, but back to this pathway, there is the traditional retirement route. And quite frankly, with a mega trend is beginning in terms of looking at this entirely different. Mm-hmm. So in terms of traditional retirement, I mean, in the first place, there are about 110 million Americans over the age of 50. That's a third of the population. And naturally, that means there are 110 million different variations of what's right for that individual. And for some people, traditional retirement is perfect. Mm-hmm. Or just some light, you know, notion of, well, I'm helping my kids by taking care of the grandkids so that they can. Or I do some groups of volunteering or something. But for many people, what the mega trend is, and it's a disturbing one, is that to simplify and characterize it, is that they'll go into what's called the retirement honeymoon. Mm-hmm. So for the first 6 months to maybe 2 years, it's like, this relief, all this change, I can do anything I want, I don't have to commute, I don't have to do all of these things. That's retiring from something, not to something. Mm-hmm. The results of that is that after that 6 month or 2 year period, it's the retirement hangover, in which, well, as I've heard many retirement coaches or therapists say, people are coming to them and saying, I am failing at retirement. Mm-hmm. How can you possibly fail at retirement? You know, it's like falling off a log, except mm-hmm. they found there's a cliff that they just fell off of. And that is why there is a spike, I mean, a significant disturbing health spike in cases of alcoholism.
That's true.
Drug abuse, divorce, which yes. is a big one, which we can talk about. Depression and even suicide.
Yes,
and
that's true.
It stands to reason that here again, think about the way you've lived your life where you've been relevant. You've had, you know, I hate saying purpose, but you've had purposeful things. You've had things that you've, challenges that you faced, accomplishments that you've made. People find that, as one retiree said, you never want to retire because you won't mean anything to anybody anymore. Because they're living life and you're just kind of living in la-la land or la-di-da land. And so that's lack of significance and purpose. Going back to the divorce thing really quickly, and this is just a scenario, but it's a telling one, that what happens is let's say you've got a married couple or two significant others, and one person was stay at home and the other person was a professional. Although this can happen if they both retire. But the person who was the professional suddenly retires and they're like, here I am. And the other person's like, I've got my own life. Mm-hmm. And as I've heard it characterized before, suddenly they have nothing to do. And they go down to the neighborhood bar for lunch and then the bartender becomes their best friend.
Right.
An oversimplification, but nevertheless a very telling one. And allow me to go ahead and work in one other thing here too, or actually really the fundamental point, is that where we stand in this point in history is radically different than it's ever been before. Mm-hmm. That when you add it all up, makes complete sense as to why this route is a problem and this route is phenomenal. And that is that if we go back to 1960, the beginning of the 60s, I wrote, produced, and directed a documentary called The Passing of the Torch that was ostensibly about Kennedy's impromptu speech on the steps of the Michigan Union as a candidate, bringing up the concept of the Peace Corps. But when doing that documentary and talking to all these people who were there, and people like Bill Moyers and Theodore Sorensen and Tom Hayden and others, is that they said at that time there was something in the youth of America that they couldn't put their finger on, this kind of burning and yearning to not do what was expected of them and to make more of their lives and to determine their own lives rather than what society determined. That's what the 60s were. Mm-hmm. You know, protest marches and sex, drugs, and rock and roll were manifestations of it. They changed society. They changed what it meant to live your own life. They also broke down all of the barriers and borders. Who would have imagined in 1960, 20-something starting up, you know, a successful business that would turn into a $1 billion empire in their 20s? And yet, you can look at Bill Gates, Steve Jobs, Larry Ellison, Jeff Bezos, Richard Branson, on and on and on. That's when that transformation happened. It's happening again, mm-hmm. because we also are in a situation, you know, there's this number of retirement at 65, which goes back to 1935, actually, yeah. even before that, Otto von Bismarck in Germany. That's when Social Security started. Mm-hmm. And that's because the average male lifespan, and it was overwhelmingly a male workforce, died at mm-hmm. 65. So it's like, let's give this guy a break and give him a couple of years to, right. to rest. Well, now we have increased lifespan. We have increased health span. Mm-hmm. We have a different society, different business. We've been active. We have defined what our lives are and everything. So to suddenly think that you're going to spend the next 20, 30, even 40 years of your life on vacation.
Right.
And that it's going to be fulfilling and relevant. That's where the downside is.
Right.
Now on the plus side, I really kind of laid it out there. I was having a conversation with a young woman who's a client and a friend and a colleague, and she's been a fan of Pro Boomer, and we were talking about it, and she's like, yeah, you know, you've gotten me to thinking, how should I look at that phase of my life? And it really crystallized for me that I even did a video blog in which I was reading from Dr. Seuss's book, Oh, the Places You
Will Go. Yeah, lots of people are talking about that now. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, and the point of it being that that is a really, I mean, I cannot tell you how many high school and college graduates, including my two sons, that I gave that to, because it talks about all these amazing things and scary things and challenging things, but wonderful things that are on the road of life ahead of you in the decades ahead. Mm-hmm. Well, why not be 50, 60 years old? You've still got that road ahead. You've still got decades of life. I even said that's a great gift for somebody in their 50s for their birthday.
Yeah, or a retirement gift.
Yes, although hopefully you're retiring to something and not from something.
That's right. That's right.
But the point being that if you suddenly look at this phase of life as a totally new, almost a reset.
Yes.
Almost a reset time where it's like, it's my turn.
Yes.
You know, it's my turn to define what I want. Mm-hmm. You know, it's and that is happening. So in like three basic areas: continued employment, super volunteerism, and entrepreneurialism. And let me just go through them real quickly. So in terms of employment, a lot of people are wanting or having to, big reason, having to keep being employed and earned an income. That doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be the same job or 40 hours a week or even going into an office. All of a sudden, there are all of these permutations of how that can look, where people are changing careers, or maybe they're doing phased retirement, or they're only working on special projects, or they're trying something, they're skilling up and trying something entirely new. Or they're taking their skills and they're set financially, and instead of just maybe volunteering for some fundraising activity or something, which is important and necessary, but they're coming in and really using their skills and experience to help. And then the third is entrepreneurialism. And this is where there is a huge spike, upward trend of boomers as entrepreneurs, either because, well, in some cases, because of ageism, because they couldn't find a work, they didn't have any choice, they needed to make money, and they started a business, or because it's like, I've always had this idea, or I've just always wanted to do this. And get a load of this. According to the Kaufman Index, boomers, and it's startups in the United States for the last several years, boomers lead millennials by a 2-to-1 margin in the number of startups every year. Double the number of startups are from boomers. Gen Xers slightly lead boomers. They also have a vastly higher likelihood of success. There's a 7 in 10 chance that a boomer business will succeed. It's somewhere just under a 3 in 10 chance that a millennial business will succeed, because we've got the networks, we've got the experience, and in some cases, even the money. So this relevance, this opportunity to do something and maybe do it on your own terms. I've had people say, I don't want to work 40 hours a week, but I'd like to work maybe 20 hours a week. Yeah. Those options are out there. And what that leads to is not only a better, more fulfilling, and quite frankly, healthier life for that person and the people around them, but it also adds to impact to the economy and the people that they impact by virtue of doing it.
Yeah, no, that's excellent. That's excellent. Well, let's talk about current times with this pandemic. You know, it's forcing change upon us. How do you see that affecting boomers or people 50 plus? You know, what are you, I know you interview a lot of people also, so.
Yeah, I've been talking, and I've been talking to a lot of people, and in the first place as a baseline, here's how I would put it. Mm-hmm. There is absolutely no way anyone has a clue as to what our life, the economy, lifestyle, business, and everything else is going to be, both short-term, which I'm calling the next 2 years.
Right.
Basically, until this thing is gone, minimally 2 years, till we get a vaccine in us, as the experts say. And then there's the long term, because that's going to radically change things for the long term, just mm-hmm. as other major challenges and crises in history have, or even just with technology, have done for us. There's, you know, who would have imagined how the computer or cell phones or the internet would have transformed our lives right. 5 or 10 years before it really started catching? So we have no idea. However, from what I am hearing and what makes a lot of sense, is that especially for older workers, which can range from age 40 to 80, there is going to be a major, major impact. Mm-hmm. Because I have been doing my best to track and talk to a number of people on these things. And, you know, you have a lot of boomers who are in the first place of dire need to continue to earn an income. I mean, this is a huge silent issue. I pulled up these numbers. Every year, the Insurance Retirement Institute tracks retirement savings on the part of boomers. So it's consistent numbers. 55% of boomers have some retirement savings, but only 28% of those people only have less than 100,000. 45% of all boomers have no savings whatsoever. And Social Security is not going to cover it.
No.
So this is a real dire economic situation facing boomers. So you know that right now, obviously no surveys have been done, but you know that right now there are millions and millions of Americans who are sitting there going, oh my gosh, you know, what am I going to lose my job? I've lost my job. How am I going to get another job or other variations? That is an incredibly scary prospect for those people and for our communities and for our national and global economy. And you're going to be up against the easy hire. The easy hire is the young talent.
Yeah.
And then the second scary thing, and then I'll try to put some sunshine to it in terms of possibilities. But the other thing is that I'm starting to avoid the term getting a job because jobs per se may not be out there.
Right.
There may be, you know, that full-time employment with benefits and everything else, but there are alternatives. You know, we were already seeing a spike in the gig economy. Excuse me. So like I've been doing the gig economy with my content creation business as a producer, director, writer and stuff for 30 years, you know, where I'm self-employed. Mm-hmm. So I'm a gig worker or you're a contractor or you're a freelancer or what's called a crowd worker. And there are kind of two levels of it. There are things like Uber drivers or things of that sort. And then there's the more professional where you're offering your services on an hourly or daily or project rate is everything from a graphics designer to an accountant or whatever, every field imaginable. And already that was spiking because so many companies were saying, hey, you know, we don't have to onboard this person and pay all the costs of having an employee. We can just bring people in on a project basis. And by the way, the last numbers I saw were that 35% of gig workers were boomers. So that was already, you know, because some people say, oh, that's a millennial thing. No, mm-hmm. It's a boomer thing. And so there will be a lot of opportunities there. So in talking with a number of people, and I've had several recent interviews with experts on this, and I've heard one consistent thing, that in this time, since you don't know yet, it's to get prepared for it. And it's things such as, well, in the first place, take a breath and pause and get your mind in a new, wide open, get rid of the old thinking, get rid of, well, I've done this job, I've done this kind of a thing, and do a huge self-assessment of what is it that you really are good at and that you really do. You know, I look at what I did, I've applied it to pro boomer, you know, because all of that, it's a totally different context. It's a different kind of job, if you will. But yet I'm leveraging all those years of experience and what I feel like I'm good at. But I'm matching them in terms of something I'm passionate about that is mine that I want to do. So I'm living the model that I'm putting forth. As long as you've got to do it, if you're sitting there going, oh my gosh, I got to find a job. If you do that self-evaluation of what you're really good at and you get prepared for it and you start kind of coming up with your personal professional narrative, not in the context of positions, but in what you're capable of doing, the value you bring to any organization or endeavor, all of a sudden everything looks a lot differently. And it prepares yourself so that when it starts to become apparent where the jobs and opportunities are, you're ready to customize it, your narrative, into what that hiring person, for lack of a better term, is looking for.
Yeah. No, I think that's great advice. Well, as I said in the introduction, I'm really passionate about this whole idea of legacy. And how would you define legacy? And then secondly, how do you think that this pandemic might change how people even see that term?
Well, boy, the second half of that is a good question. I don't know. Except, and this is a little maybe far-reaching, but you know, you're already seeing the trend, and I'm feeling it in myself of situation. And it makes sense with a situation like this that all of a sudden, the really important stuff tends to bubble out of the noise and the hurly-burly of life. Did I say hurly-burly? As to what's really important and what's meaningful. And I know that, and I feel a little guilty saying, thinking, well, what's my legacy? Have I done enough or not? When I can certainly be proud of what I've done, and I can certainly be proud of being in a relationship since college, and I can be proud of two sons who I think, you know, I couldn't have asked for more in terms of sending two young men out into the world to make a difference and an impact. But, you know, some people call it the rocking chair test. I honestly, in my mind for years, have thought about if in my dying moments, mm-hmm. you know, how do I want to feel about my life? And of course, you hear very often, you know, two things. One is I worked more than I had to. I was too wrapped up in work. I should have been more wrapped up in the important things in life, which is true. But the other thing that you hear over and over and over and over again is this: I never went for it. I never really did what I wanted to do. I never really did what was meaningful to me. And as I look at this stage of life and a major motivator or pro boomer that organically kind of evolved as I started getting this idea was that, you know, I wanted to make an impact. I wanted to, you know, I guess leave that so-called legacy. And if I can, you know, tie this back to this thing about boomer entrepreneurs and boomer workers and the impact that they make, you know, I characterize it of, it's almost like ripples in a pond or a domino effect that, okay, if I am able to spur somebody to say, yeah, you know, I'm going to be an entrepreneur. And then they start that business. Well, several things happen. One is that the impact that they have in terms of, first of all, financing their own lives and staying healthy and being engaged, the people that they hire, the products and services that they deliver. By the way, one of the biggest explosions of entrepreneurialism, period, but especially among boomers, is social entrepreneurialism, which mm-hmm. is basically a business to cure an ill, to fix a problem. They say that entrepreneurs will cure the problems of the world. We don't want to count on government, right? And so it's to have that kind of an impact. It has an economic impact. A few years ago, economists around the world, because the baby boom, post-World War II baby boom, was global. And their concern was, here's the GDP of countries in the world. And that with so many boomers retiring, that's going to decline, while demand on tax dollars and services is going to go up. But we're already seeing this curve flattening, because more and more boomers are continuing to work, and they're staying healthier and more engaged. Chris Farrell from MarketWatch, mm-hmm. you know, said that we've always, the golden egg in the United States has been 3% GDP. We kind of kiss it sometimes. He's like, the boomer revolution that's going on could actually change that. One other real quick thing, Paul Tassner, I interviewed him a few days ago, and he has a TED Talk, 2.5 million viewers. He started a business when he was 66, and he's now 4 or 5 years into it, very successful. He was approached after his TED Talk, not a TEDx talk, a TED Talk, by a couple of researchers at a global insurance company. You know, insurance companies research everything to know what their actuarial tables are. And in ending the conversation, they said, you know what, by the way, based on our research, what you're doing right now is the healthiest, best thing you can possibly do to not only have a long life, but a healthy life.
Huh.
I want that.
Right. No, that's very interesting. Well, Paul, we're kind of coming to a close here and time runs out way too fast. But I always like to ask, what else should I have asked that our listeners, people watching this podcast need to know? What other words of wisdom have you learned that you want to share?
Well, it's shared a lot. I mean, the number one thing is to it's almost like you got to change your glasses and mm-hmm. look at this time and the prospects for your life in an entirely different way in terms of what you want, get rid of the assumptions and presumptions, and quite frankly, really tie into what makes you unique and special and where you can do something with that. I would say the other thing, given this coronavirus situation, is that there has probably never been a generation in history that has gone through more change of all types than the boomer generation has. Some of the change this generation effectuated itself. But when it comes to technology and life and lifestyle and business and the economy and everything, the world has never seen. They say that there can't be a paradigm anymore because things change so fast. A paradigm cannot establish itself.
Right. Oh, that's interesting.
Boomers have gone through that. So I hate to say, like, we'll go through this together. I hate to sound like one of the 200 ads that all sound the same out there right now. But we will. We are exceptionally well positioned to adapt to it. And while the obvious, such as the job situation, may seem like a hurdle, there are ways around it and under it and through it. Boomers are disruptors, and we will continue disrupting assumptions and presumptions of age.
Oh, that's a great place. Well, you've given us much to think about, Paul, and the emphasis in this series is on learning how to make the rest of life the best of life. So may the rest be the best for you. Thank you.
Thank you.